Today is October 29th, 2014, Kartik classes, Sri Radhakund Dham, glorious sevas of Srimati Radharani. Vande Guru Padadvandvam Bhakta Vrinda Samanvitam Sri Chaitanya Prabhum Vande Nityananda Sahoditam Sri Nandanandanam Vande Radhika Charanadvayam Gopi Jana Samayuktam Vrindavana Manoharam Amala Kamala Raji Sparshi Vata Prashite Nija Sarasi Nindage Samalasaniyam Parijana Gana Yukta Kridiyanti Bakarim Snapayati Nija Dasi Radhikamam Kadanu. When will Radhika bathe me in her service? As Radharani is bathing in Radhakund with her Shamsundar and her gopis, Das Goswami is praying that Radharani will bathe him or her in her service. So we're discussing Vilakusa Manjali and the beautiful sevas of the Manjaris. And we're on verse 69. I think this is a new verse. We're just starting today. Sakam tvaya sakhi nikunja grihe sarasya swasyastate kusuma bhavita bhushanena shingaritam viradati priyamishvarisa abhavish yati mat ikshana gocharakim. My dear friend Rupa Manjari, O sakhi Rupa Manjari. Verse 69. O Sakhi Rupa Manjari, when will I be able to see you with your mistress? That means Radharani, your Ishwari, decorating her dearest one with flower ornaments in a grove cottage on the bank of her own lake. Oh, actually, we did this verse already. We finished that. No, yeah, we're in this verse. Excuse me. Or verse 70. Shudvavi chakshanamukad raja raja sunho shashtabhi sara samayam subhagetra rishta shukshambare kusuma sanskrita karna pura harari vischabhavatim kimalankarishye. This time period, and this verse is around 224 to 248. That was the last verse. The last verse was in the middle of the afternoon, actually in Radhakund. And this verse, although it's in sequence, verse 70, he's actually in his Smaran, because Smaran takes you where Leela Shakti and Yoga Maya want to take you. So although the verses are written in a sequential way, we don't know, it's not indicated, but maybe these were entries as he had the visions, he would write them down. As he had the Spurtis. You could say that was Spurti 69. But Spurti 69, when he had that, and he could have all these Spurtis at the same time of doing bhajan. It could be the same time every day when he's chanting and meditating. For example, in the morning you may chant between 3 a.m. and 8 a.m. You may chant many rounds. And during that time, sometimes you may meditate on Ratri Leela, or you may meditate on Madhyan Leela, or 6 o'clock a.m. pastimes. Oftentimes, there's different viewpoints on this. There's no fixed point. You can see in the example of the life of Srinivasacharya and Ramchandra Goswami. Srinivasacharya was chanting japa in the morning, meditating on an afternoon leela at Radhakund. And Radhakund lost one of her ankle bells in the Radhakund. And she asked Srinivas, I forget his Manjari name, maybe Mani. Mani Manjari. Oh, Mani Manjari, I lost my ankle bell. Can you dive in and look for it? Like the boys, they throw this string with a magnet on it. and they try to pull up iron coins because the magnet is attracted to iron, and this is the age of Kali. So the Iron Age, all the money in India is made of loha, or iron. There's no such thing as the copper penny. Copper's too costly. There's no such thing as a silver dollar. When I grew up, we had copper pennies and silver dollars and silver half dollars and silver quarter dollars. Real silver, you can go like that. Flip the coin. Silver dollar was this big. It was about an eighth of an inch, it was about this thick. As thick as a Parle G biscuit. It was thick, heavy. If you had $10 in your pocket, you felt like you were like really rich. Now all the coins in the world are made of aluminum or iron. In a few years only, in 60 years. That doesn't look very auspicious. So when he was meditating, in his meditation, Radharani said, "Can you find my lost ankle bell? I lost it during Jal Keli." So then Manimandri dove in to look for it, and then his meditation, he passed hours from morning to noon. He was all day long meditating on Radhakund Leela, on that one pastime, searching Radhakund for the ankle bell. And then Ramchandra Goswami, I forget his Mandri name, he's the best friend, and he, maybe he's disciple, I'm not sure, but very good friend, Ramchandra Goswami, disciple. He's a disciple, not exactly, I think it's Ramchandra. Not Goswami, Ramchandra. Excuse me? Kaviraj, excuse me. Because Ramchandra Goswami is Ananga, you know, is Janamata's adopted son. So his Ramchandra Kaviraj, his disciple, he was also chanting and meditating. Oh, my guru is under Radhakund. For hours and hours and hours in his Sakhi Sarup, in his meditation. I should go in and help him. He's trying to find that ankle bell. Let me also try to find it. So then he dives in looking for it, then he finds it. So this shows that they weren't exactly, Srinivas wasn't exactly meditating on the Leela of that time of the day. Although some acharyas, they instruct their guru that you should meditate on the Leela of the time of the day. You're sitting at 8 o'clock and you're going to chant and meditate on Leelas with your chanting, then you should meditate on the Leelas at 8 o'clock in the morning, Krishna finishing his breakfast really at 8 o'clock in the morning he's at Guptakund. Behind Brindakund there's Guptakund, which is a morning yoga peat, meeting place of Radha and Krishna and the Manjari's gopis, and they have Artik there, Maha Artik, and there's some Kunja Leela there. Then after that, that's for 10, 12, 15 minutes, then Krishna rushes quickly to the Goshala, meets all the boys, goes to his room, meets the boys, takes the cows out for Gocharna Leela at 8:36 to 10:48, Gocharan, Purvahan Leela. Some say that you meditate on the time. But you can see, at least these are arranged in a sequence, but they're not in a sequence of time. The previous Leela described in verse 69 takes place at 2:30 in the afternoon. And this verse, you'll hear from the translation, takes place in the morning, actually before Radhakund pastimes, in preparation. This pastime takes place about 10... just before they go, about 10:48, and so in the morning before Radharani leaves, Varsana Yavat. So if we can, this is my idea, it's not written anywhere, but it seems that when he's chanting and has these spurtis, the spurtis come of their own. You can't control, okay, now I'm going to meditate like this or meditate like that. We in the level of a sadhaka, and we can consciously say, yes, now I'll meditate a morning Leela, now I'll meditate an evening Leela, per our choice. But for someone on the level of Raghunath Das, when he's chanting, then he's intensely hankering to actually see the Leela and enter there in his Siddhadeya and render direct service to Radharani. So then by the strength of his prema, he enters in directly into the apricot Leela, and his Siddha Sarupa is Tulsi Mandri. And then he renders service, and when he drops in there, it's whenever their pastime is going on. So then when he comes out of that, then he writes about it. So it almost seems, I can see it, the way I see it is that Leela Kusa Manjali is like a diary of sportis, or a diary of his Leela Pravesha's as a sadhaka going into his antardasha, internal consciousness. And that's why there's no chronology to it. One Leela, he's at 10 o'clock in the morning, and a Leela before this, he's at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So he's not just following, it's not like Swarasiki. There's something called Swarasiki meditation, where you're sequentially following Radha and Krishna throughout the day, one Leela after the other, and you're meditating. Of course, that's at the level of bhava. One can actually perform Swarasiki Upasanam. So here's the translation. Ashutvavi Chakshanavi Mukad Bhajaraja Suno. Raghunathas Goswami, he's speaking to Radharani. O Subhage, Radha. Subhage means very auspicious, fortunate, beautiful girl. When can I joyfully decorate you with fine garments? Shukshma Ambare, floral earrings, Kusama Karnapur, necklaces, and so on, after you hear from the parrot Vichakshana that the Prince of Braja has gone out for his excellent noontime meeting with you. So Radharani is in Barsana, and Krishna has gone. He's already left for Madhyan Leela. He's left with the coward boys, and they've gone to Govardhan or somewhere nearby. Then on some pretext, Krishna walks away from the boys and cows with one or two coward boyfriends, Subal and Madhavango. And he may meet Dinishta, Sakhi and Brinda, or Kundalata, and they may give him, not Kundalata, but Dinishta and Brinda, they may give him some flower garlands from Radharani or some message. Then Krishna goes on to Radhakund and to wait for Radharani. So meanwhile, back in Yavat or Barsana, depending on the time of the year, and when Krishna goes to Radhakund, then he sends his parrot messenger, Vichakshana. And he says, listen, he's very good at speech, Chakshush. And he's very good at speech. And so he goes there, and Krishna sends him, go quickly, tell Radharani, I'm waiting for her. So then he goes and gives a message, because there's talking parrots. Even in the Hindi literature, there's several books called Pancha Tantra stories, or Hitopadesh. Hitopadesh means beneficial instructions. And it's generally stories of animals interacting with one another, birds and crocodiles and monkeys and crocodiles, and they're speaking. And in the context of these Pancha Tantra stories, especially for children, there's lots of morality taught. And they teach the rishis and sages that compile these books to teach the younger set about values, human values, culture, morality, and behavior. For example, there's a Pancha Tantra story of the crocodile and the monkey. Magara and Bandur. Magara means crocodile, and Bandur. So there was a big flood, and the monkey lived on one side of the river, and on the other side of the river, he used to go there every day to the mango orchard and eat all the mangoes with his family. And he had a great taste for mangoes, like most humans also. And he liked. But now there's a big flood and there's a huge river there, and the monkeys can't, they can just jump around the water and come out, but they can't really swim across a raging river. So then, but an animal like a crocodile, alligator, they sport in those rivers. And they live there, that's their natural habitat. Crocodile said to the monkey, he saw him on the banks, he said, "Listen, I can give you a ride to the other side, you know, to the other side of the river, and you can get your cherished mangoes." But the crocodile had a motivation, because prior to this, in the morning, Mrs. Croc, you know, and she didn't start the shoe company either. There's a shoe company called Crocs. Mrs. Croc, she told Mr. Crocodile, she said, "You know that there's something very tasty available in the jungle, and it's called the heart of a monkey. So if you can bring me a monkey, I would like to have a nice special treat today for lunch. Since I've been a good Mrs. Crocodile, you should give me a gift." So then the crocodile had this plan already. So he offered his free service with his ulterior motive. So the monkey, he said, "I don't know, because if I ride on your back, then you might eat me." And then the crocodile said, no, you can trust me. I'll take you across. I promise I won't. You can sit here and I'll take you across." So the monkey said, "All right." So then the monkey sat on the crocodile. And then at a certain point, the crocodile was starting to dive under the water. And then he would take the monkey with him, and then the monkey would drown, and he would kill him and eat him. So the monkey said, "Oh, wait, Mr. Crocodile, wait a minute. I forgot one thing. I'm going across the other side. I forgot one thing. I left my heart back in the tree on the banks. Swim over there, go by the banks of the river, and I'll just jump off your back, and I'll get my heart, and I'll just be right there." And then the crocodile said, "Oh, that's the main thing. That's the heart." And so then the crocodile went back there, and the monkey jumped up on a branch of the tree. When he got off there, he looked back, and the crocodile was looking up, waiting for him. Those big crocodile eyes they have, you know, on the top of their head. And then, and it's a cartoon, they do paintings of it, so it looks very funny in the book. Then the monkey's looking back at him and saying, like, like monkeys do, they make this face, like, "I'm not coming down." So then that's the story. So then children read it and they laugh and they think it's funny. And then they write a moral of the story. So that's called Panchatantra. So there's talking crocodiles, and then the moral, of course, is you have to be very, very, when you're dealing with clever people, you have to be very clever. So the monkey is very clever. So he understood what the situation was, so he outsmarted the crocodile. Prabhupada once said, he said, when you're dealing with, well, I better not repeat that, it's on the YouTube. Anyway, well, that'll be off the air someday. When you're dealing with so-and-so, you should be a bigger so-and-so. You know that phrase? I don't want to say. So the, oh, Subhaga, beautiful, auspicious girl. So what has happened, Radharani's home, and she's waiting for some good news, and here comes a parrot, lands on the ledge. Beautiful, beautiful green parrot with a sham black ring around his neck. That's how you distinguish the male parrot from the female parrot. Female parrot, if you see a male parrot and a female parrot, male parrot's a little bigger also, as usual. And his beak is a little redder. And but a distinguishing characteristic, because she may be a big eater and she may be big also, the distinguishing characteristic has a black ring around the bottom of his neck, which means I belong to Sham. It's a Sham colored black ring of fur. I belong to Sham, because the male peacocks are in Sham's message department and TMS, Tota Messenger Service. We have SMS and TMS. Tota means parrot. So then Radharani's parrots, they don't have that. So when Radharani saw, she looked, oh, that's a male parrot. And she got excited, that must be one of his parrots, Krishna's parrots. Then the parrot said, oh, Subhage, Sham is waiting for you. So this is the situation here, and this word is here. Why is, the question can be asked, why is Raghunath Das or Tulsi Mandri addressing Radharani as Subhage, fortunate? Because she's very fortunate, because she's, Krishna has explained here, Krishna is the person. Radharani is very eager to go meet Krishna when she gets the news. But every single gopi in Vrindavan is eager to meet Krishna. And practically every devotee in Vrindavan is eager to meet Krishna. So that's one of the themes of this verse. The theme of this verse is utkantita, or utsaha, eagerness, which we heard before also. But this is a big part of love, eagerness, anticipation, because these type of lovers, it's called parakiya. It's called utpati, utpati bhav. There's pati bhav and utpati. Utpati bhav means above and beyond my husband, there's another one. Husband, there's no anticipation about meeting. There's no excitement, there's no eagerness to meet, because it's 24/7. The sambandha with husband and wife is practically 24/7, at least in the general cultural context of the ancient days. Husbands and wives were living together. Not that the husband was in Saudi Arabia and the wife was in India, and he would come home every 2 years, and all these crazy arrangements they have now to make money. And people are scattered all around the world and separated by space. But that people live together. So there was no, the relationship of pati bhav doesn't have the excitement, doesn't have the anticipation, doesn't have the thrill. There's so many wonderful emotions and sentiments that are comprise this utpati bhav, and that's the relationship of Radha and Krishna. Utpati bhav, parakiya bhav. So that's why in the pastimes and the descriptions you'll hear about so much eagerness, anticipation, waiting, avisar, and even the eight types of nayaka bhav, the eight moods and feelings of a heroine. One of them is the vasajika. It's called vasajika bhav. That's when the heroine is waiting. It's described the heroine, or in this case, sometimes Krishna, of course, the hero, at least in Krishna Leela. And the vasajika, vasa means resonance. So she's in the kunja, and she's very, she has an intense eagerness to meet Krishna while she's there. So to dovetail that, to express that, she starts decorating the flower bed and then going in and out and decorating all these things. And that generates a particular bhava of anticipation of meeting in a particular vasa or place, vasajika. Then the anticipation, eagerness is generated going there. It's called avisarika, avisarika bhav, which is, we've been hearing about, that, oh, I've been called, but can I get out of my house? Can I get there? What if I'm blocked? And then on my way, maybe I meet some elders or gurujan or superiors. And so I've been called and I'm on a love journey, but will I be successful? Just like you go on a yatra, or you go somewhere from here to there. Oh, now I'm going to New York or whatever, and I'm going to Bombay. But you may not get there. You may get an accident, or you may get in some accident, you end up in a hospital halfway between here and there. And you can't go from that hospital because you can't move. You're in traction or ICU or whatever. So it's not guaranteed that when you start a journey, you'll be successful. even in the material calculation. What to speak when it's utpati bhav? If she's on her way and by chance she sees anyone, like Abhimanyu, oh, Radharani, where are you going? Oh, come with me. Let's go back home. And she has to go back home? By chance, who knows? She doesn't have some kind of global navigation system or something that, you know, cameras and satellites to know where her husband is at any given time. He doesn't have a microchip in his wrist to track his whereabouts like modern people. So she by chance, because you know, sometimes you hear that, people say, yeah, I was in my car and I was coming from here to there and then I saw my husband or I saw my wife. You know, I ducked down. I think she recognized my car. And, you know, I'm going down the same road. And all kinds of things like this in modern times. So what to speak of then? Or she may see Radharani's wandering out somewhere. She's leaving Yavat. And she's her father, King Vrishabhanu. And he says, what are you doing here? Why aren't you home? Oh, I'm just out picking flowers. What, this time? Listen, well, actually your mother is really dying to see you. Why don't you come with me for a half hour, we'll go home. Run around and says, well, really, Dad, you know, I really have to go and it's really important to pick these flowers for Surya Puja. No, no, some Sevadasis can do that. They'll pick the flowers, you can go just spend an hour with your mother. It's, no one knows. So Abhisarya again is full of a different kind of anticipation, eagerness and fear and all these things. So Radharani is called the most fortunate. Why is she called Subhage? She's being glorified. This is Kirti, Mahima, Kirtan. The Manjris are doing Kirtan. It's called Guna Kirtan. There's Nam Kirtan, Leela Kirtan, Guna Kirtan. So here the Manjris are doing Kirtan. Guna Kirtan, Rati Mantri is saying Subhage. Like she's saying, you are Subhage. Sumi, Bhage means fortunate, beautiful. And Su means very, very. Very fortunate, because all the gopis in Vrindavan, they're very eager to meet Krishna, and he's eager to meet them. But no one is as eager as you are to meet Krishna, and you're the most fortunate, because Krishna, although all those ladies are eager to meet him, he's eager to meet you. He meets with them, and he enjoys with them, and he loves them dearly, but it can't compare with your fortune. So in this way, by using this word, it says that the Tulsi Mandri is very proud of his or her Swamini. So that's why we say that Dumba, that this Hankar or pride, is the enemy of devotion and the enemy of bhakti. When pride or man or self-conceit or pride or manyata, is applied to oneself, it's destructive. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, matsarya. This lobha, desire for gain, desire for profit. So that's why Mahaprabhu, he only gave 8 instructions. But he says that the thing that keeps us from Krishna is pride. And how do we get to Krishna? How do we meet Krishna? How do we associate with Krishna? How do we move closer to Krishna? How do we see Krishna? How do we experience Krishna? By kirtan. But we can't experience Krishna and kirtan because of pride. So that's why. So the opposite of pride is humility. On one end is the enemy, pride. On the other end is the ally, humility. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya addresses this in his valuable, essential Upadesh Sar, instructions, Shikshamrita, Trinadapi Sunichena Taroriva Seshuna Amanina Man Amanina Manidena Kirtaniya Sadahari. So when that pride is there, then there's no Nam Kirtan. We're far from the holy name. What to speak of having continual association with Krishna. When one is prideless, then he has continual association with Krishna. As soon as pride leaves, self-pride, self-worth, then one gains continual association with Krishna. Satsang. satsang. Sat means eternal. Satchitananda. So this verse is pointing here. So now we take pride, the dovetailing, the proper use of pride. Pride, you can have man. You can have man for your guru. You can have pride in your guru, pride in Krishna, pride in your Yukteswari, pride in Radharani, pride in Mahaprabhu, pride in your sampradaya. There you can have self-conceit or respect or due veneration. So this word is indicating Tulsi Mandri, Raghunath Das, he's proud of Radharani that you're Subhagi. This word, this Guna Kirtan, he's the Kirti and fame and glories of Radharani, calling her Subhagi, distinguishes her. All the gopis of Vrindavan are fortunate because their pranatam, I mean their prananath is Krishna, Priyatam Sham. But of all of those fortunate ones, the Subhagi, they're all Bhagi, Bhagya Kamanis, Bhagya Wadus, fortunate young married brides. But the most Subhagi, most fortunate one is Radharani. And who is Radharani? She's Maheshwari, Madishwari. Madishwari means Maheshwari. She's my Vrindavaneshwari. And I'm serving her directly, massaging her feet, offering chamra and tambal. I'm massaging and bathing her body directly. The sakis, like Lalita Vishaka, you see this described that they're taking the ornaments off Radharani and they're painting her face, Chitra Lalita Vishaka. But the actual massaging of Radharani's bodies with oils and the direct personal service, this is done by her mandaris. And the sakis aren't there at that time. Once she's bathed, and then she comes out, then the ornamentation, decoration, all that is done by the sakis. So that very intimate, confidential service is done by her pran, sakhi, mandris, rupa, rati, etc. And those that are in her anugatya of them. So here it's the pride. Tulsi Mandri, Raghunath Das is directing his pride, showing his pride. There is no limit to Shyam's desire for Swamini. So this verse indicates this sending of Vichakshana. Krishna sent his parrot, quickly go, do something. You're the fastest thing around here. I could give a message to Madhamanga and send him to Varsana, but he'll walk so slow because he's so fat and eats so many ladus. It will take hours for him, and he may, and if some Brijvasi lady lures him, says, oh, Madhamanga, you look hungry and tired. Come in, have some water, have some ladus. If some gopi lures him into her house with an offering of a plate of ladus, he may not come back till tomorrow. And what good is sending Madhamanga with my message? He's very funny and he's a good friend, but this service is not for him. And I could send Subal also, but I need his support and these intimate feelings that are rising in my heart. And so, what to do? Ah. And Vichakshana says, what about me? He's in the tree right above Krishna while he's having this dialogue and thought. Vichakshana says, what about me? I'm very expert. So then he says, yes, Vichakshana, Suno, you go. So then, and just convey how I'm eagerly waiting for Radharani. So this is, on one side you see Krishna's in the kunja, he's eagerly waiting for Radharani. This is the very, very beginning of Radhakund pastimes. Just in the beginning, 10:40, 10:30 in the morning. So then, now the eagerness of the gopis, and the gopis are also very eager. Radharani is very eager. As soon as the parrot says that Krishna's eager to meet her, please hurry up, Radharani starts running out of the house. And then Tulsi Mandri is saying this verse, wait a minute, sit down. We want to decorate. I will happily decorate you with Kusuma Karnapur. Very fragrant flower earrings, and Shukshma Ambare, like we say Nilambara. Ambara means garments or covering. We say Vishwambara Mahaprabhu. Vishwambara means covering the universe, Ambara. So that which covers us is called Ambara. So Shukshma means, like we say, Shukshma Sharir. and stool sharir. So the subtle body is called shukshma. So the shukshma means very fine cloth I will decorate you in. And then, so that means sit down, wait a second, don't run. But nevertheless, Shukadeva Goswami is describing Rasa Panchadaya, how eager the gopis are to meet Krishna in this 10:29:7, the beginning of Rasa Lila. Limpantya pramrijantyonya ajantya kaschalochane vyatyasta vastrabharana kaschit Krishna antikam yayu. Some gopis were putting makeup on themselves. Others were cleansing their bodies. Others were applying, fastening their earrings, putting on their garments. But they all ran out of their houses and came to Krishna with these decorations all on in the wrong places. Sometimes Prabhupada in Krishna book says the gopis were dressed in a topsy-turvy way. Topsy-turvy means the bottom was on the top and the top was on the bottom. And then Vidagdha Mata of Rupa Goswami further delineates. So that's just gopis in general, how they were dressed in an upside down way, one earring on one ear and cudgel on one eye and not the other eye, and lipstick on the top lips and not the bottom, and then a necklace tied around the wrist and the waist bells tied around the neck, and it was all upside down. So Vidagdha Madhava says this: Damilo padinila ratna rachito haras twaya ropito vinyasta kucha kumbayo kuvalaya shreni krito garvaka hange kalitam anjanam vinihito kasturika netrayo kamsare ravisara sambrama baran manye jagad vismitam. So this verse specifically describes how eager Radharani was to meet Krishna. O Radhe, in your this is Rupa Goswami's Vidagdha Madhav, Act 4, verse 30. In your eagerness to meet Kansari, Sri Krishna, you have forgotten the whole world, manye jagat vismritam. You have placed your sapphire necklace, which was meant for your braid, in your braid, in other words, her necklace she put in her braid, and the garland, her garland of blue lotus flowers, which were meant for her braid, she put around her neck. You took your eyeliner, you took your cudgel, and she smeared all of her body. And her kasturi, which was meant for her body, she put on her eyelids. So she was upside down. So then the question can be asked, okay, their utsaha, their eagerness to meet Krishna, is one reason why they're dressing in such a haphazard, fast way. Oh, I have to go, and you run out. I know sometimes I have to run out in Parikrama, and I put, in the wintertime, put my hat on inside out or something, my topi, and then a label's there, and someone says, Maharaj, your hat's inside out. And I said, oh, okay. Turned around. Yeah, I ran out of the house. Absent-minded, not so particular, don't really pay much attention. The gopis, of course, pay attention because they want to look perfect for Shyam's happiness. But nevertheless, one reason is they're so eager, they forget. They become overwhelmed in ecstasy, and then they tend to forget. When your mind gets overwhelmed by some emotion, then it doesn't work very well. You may forget things, you may drop things, where is that? Because your mind is agitated by anger, or agitated by love, or agitated by worry, or some mental disturbance is there that's affecting the normal functioning of your brain. And where was the key? The key was just here. Now, where is it? I know, and you're looking here and there for your key, and because there's too much anger in your mind, or preoccupation with something, or tension or anxiety. Everyone's had the experience. So you can imagine when the gopis hear, the gopis know it's time to run to meet Krishna, how much their minds become somewhat paralyzed by the intensity of pure love and bhav. But actually there's another answer to this question, why the gopis dressed in an upside down way. There's an internal reason that Krishna takes great pleasure in correcting the gopis' mistakes and redressing them and ornamenting them with his own hands. So actually, although it seems haphazard and absent-minded, the gopis are fully conscious and fully aware of what they're deliberately, I'm only going to put one earring on here, and Rupa Mundri, you hold the other earring in your pocketbook or whatever, in your little bag or something, sachet. And I'm going to, and watch this, I'm going to take my kinkini mala and put it around my neck. Deliberately. In other words, they're deliberately not dressing properly so they can, Krishna, oh, Radhika, look at, you only have kajalamana. Oh, really? I didn't know. How is it possible? Hey, Sakis Manju, what is this? You only put kajalamana. Oh, I'm sorry, Radharani, we're really sorry. And then does any, and Shyam says, anyone has kajal? Oh yeah, by the way, I just happen to have some. and then Mundri picks out some kajal and holds it, and then Krishna says, Radharani, close your eyes, I'll do it. Krishna's doing, now this is Krishna's greatest happiness. What is Krishna's greatest happiness? Serving Radharani. Because she's the source of the greatest happiness. She's Ladini. Ladini Shakti Sarupini Radha. So any contact with Radha produces Alad means joy, happiness, inner peace, contentment, and joy, satisfaction. So what to speak of when Krishna is having Sakshat Darshan of Radhika and doing Sakshat Seva, painting kajal on her eyes with his own hand, how much joy and happiness he feels to render that little bit of service for the pleasure of his Prananath, Pranishri Radha. That's a very nice point of why they're... So because of that, the Mundris are trying to slow Radharani down and dress her properly. So now, if we think of some points here, very nice points I was seeing in this discussion, commentary in the verse. The verse, of course, says, O Subhage Radhika, most fortunate, auspicious girl, when can I, Rati Mundri, Tulsi Mundri, decorate you with fine garments and fragrant flower earrings and necklaces as soon as you hear from Krishna's personal parrot, Vichakshana, that Krishna is eagerly waiting for you at Radhakund and hoping you'll come there as soon as possible? He says the son of the prince of Braj, such Brajaraj Suno, the son of the king of Braj, Krishna. Now that's the verse, and we heard this some commentary. And then some points I thought again were reminded of how important this eagerness. We hear here how eager Shyam is to meet Radharani. And we hear how eager Radharani is to meet Krishna. And we can now we take this down to a different level, to our level. What is the points for us or some message for us? Because this is Leela and Ras and Prem exchange between Radha and Krishna and their eternal associates in Braj. But it shows that Radharani is the ideal devotee. And Krishna is Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of God. It shows on one level that God is eager, very, very eager to meet his devotee. He's very, very eager to meet his devotees, his bhaktas, his lovers, his servants. That's one side. And the other side, it shows that the devotee, in this case, the ideal, perfect, topmost devotee of Krishna, Srimati Radharani, is extremely eager and anxious to meet God. So there's a dynamic loving attraction. There's a Karshan, Krishna Karshan. There's Krishna Bhakt and Krishna Bhagavan. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Bhagavan and Krishna Bhakta. Krish means attraction, pulling. There's a pulling force, an attraction force inside the Bhakta that's pulling him and pulling him towards Krishna and attracting Krishna towards him. And there's Krishna Shakti and Krishna Bhagavan. There's an attractive or pulling force which is pulling the Bhaktas towards Bhagavan Sri Krishna and attracting the Bhaktas to Krishna. And that pulling force is eagerness. And we should have, it's a very encouraging note to think that God, Bhagavan, is very eager to meet me. Because I am some type of devotee. There are many names for the different types and levels of devotees. Kanishta, Madhyam, Uttam. Kanishta, Kanishta, then Prakrita Bhakta, then Vaishnava Praya, and Gyanmishra Bhakta and Sakama Bhakta, and so many levels of Bhaktas are there. But they all have the name Bhakta. Sakama Bhakta, Karmamishra Bhakta, or Karmamishra Gyani Pradhani Bhuta, Karma Gyana Mishra Pradhani Bhuta Bhakta. Sometimes that term is there, Pradhani Bhuta. So there are many different levels. But it's very encouraging and inspiring to know that Krishna is eager to meet me. And he's not eager but passive. He's eager and active. Like someone might say, I'm very eager to make money. I'm really eager to make money. Acha. So what are you doing to express your eagerness? I'm sitting home all day long and sleeping. And sometimes I eat a few biscuits and then sleep. Oh, but I'm very eager to make money. So it's probably unlikely you'll make any money that way. But who knows, you may inherit something from a lost uncle or so. But generally you have to express your eagerness by action. And eagerness itself, if it's genuine, will generate action and cause you to move on the field of endeavor. So in this case, God is eager to meet his devotee, but it's not passive eagerness, he's active. So how does God, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, actively express his eagerness to meet his devotee, his bhakta? By sending his parrot. He sends his parrot. In Leela Bhumi, Braja Bhumi, Leela Bhumi, Krishna was very eager to meet Radhika, Parama Radya Devi Radha, Govinda Sarvasva, Govinda Nandini, Govinda Nandini Radha. So he sent a messenger, he sent the parrot. So in the same way, Bhagavan is very eager to meet any devotee, whether from Radharani down to the Bhakta, the Kanishna Bhakta. And to express his eagerness, Bhagavan is very active, so he sends some parrot. And the parrot comes in the form of Shukadeva Goswami. Shuka means parrot, and Shuka speaks the message of Bhagavan, Sri Bhagavan Avacha. And it's written down by Vyasadeva in the Bhagavatam. And that message, that parrot, like Vichakshana, is speaking to Radharani and Nitya Leela. Come to Radhakun, come quickly, quickly. I can't bear another minute without you. My heart is leaping from my body. I'm so anxious to see you and hear your voice. Please, Radharani, don't wait another second. Fly here on the wings, the jet propulsion of your heart, the rocket ship of your heart. Launch yourself from Barsana and supersonic speed and come here immediately to Radhakund. That's the message. So this is Vichakshana's message from Bhagavan to his devotee, Radha. So every devotee, Krishna is eager to meet him. And if one thinks that, think Bhagavan is so eager to meet me and he's sending messages in so many ways. I want to meet you. Why are you delaying? Why are you delaying? What's keeping you anyway? I've been waiting for so long. How many years have I been waiting? How many lifetimes have I been waiting? I've been waiting lifetimes. I send you this parrot, Shukadeva Goswami. I send you this Shiksha Guru messenger. I send you this, I even have these terms in English, messengers of God, messengers of the Absolute, messengers of the other world. So the messenger, I send you the messenger conveying my eagerness in the Guru, in the Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru. If you listen to Prabhupada's tapes and his lecture tapes from 66 to 77, you'll see a very clear, and you can confirm this with any senior devotee. In the beginning, and I asked directly to devotees that were sitting there in 1966, I asked this question directly to Garga Muni and to Satsru Goswami and a few others, Mukunda Das Goswami. I said, I'm listening to 1966 lectures. I didn't come until 9 years later, myself. But as I listen to them, it seems there's something wrong with the recording. Because those early recordings were reel-to-reel, you know, these old-fashioned reel-to-reel. And the Prabhupada's voice, compared to 1974, 5, 6, 7, it's very high-pitched. It's very high-pitched, and it's almost like he's screeching sometimes. And it's like full of appeal, and it seems so much different. The voice is markedly different, the audio quality and sound of vibration of what you're hearing. I said, is there some defect in the recording? And they said, absolutely not. It was a very good quality reel-to-reel tape recorder with the best quality magnetic tape, etc. available. And what the actual answer is, it's not a mechanical defect of the recording device of 1966. The answer is, Prabhupada's voice was full of eagerness and enthusiasm. He had nobody. All he had was a sign on the door written on a black, felt board like they have in restaurants, and you can change soup of the day and have these little white plastic letters, A, B, C, D. And then it's a black felt board, and the letters you can, soup, today's soup, and then they can write tomato soup and then pea soup. And then they take the little white letters and they stick them on this black felt board. And you walk by the window, you say, oh, today's soup is tomato. Oh, that's my favorite. And so you go there in your favorite macrobiotic restaurant or whatever, Paradox, 2nd Avenue, 66. I've been there, but I wasn't in this. At any rate, so that type of thing was lying there in the shop when Prabhupada took over Matchless Gifts. So then he took the letters and he wrote on that in white letters, these little plastic letters about this big, home headquarters for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. That was there, and the sign was this big. It was just like this. It was exactly like that. This size was black, this size, and white letters. And then it said, classes, Monday, Wednesday, Bhagavad Gita classes, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 7 o'clock, 7:15 p.m. or so. All are welcome. People walk by the storefront. Matchless Gifts overhead. So Prabhupada, that's all he had. His whole society was a little, this whole ISKCON was only a black sign. All it was a black sign and a rented storefront for $35 a month. $35 a month. Prabhupada owned nothing but a typewriter and a tape recorder. That's all he had. The typewriter was this wide, this big. Remington typewriter, it's on display in Bombay ISKCON, Juhum Beach. A little tiny, it was literally this big. And that's the beginning. So his voice is full of eagerness. Don't waste your life! Join the Krishna consciousness movement! His voice is like that. It goes high, high pitch. Prabhupada's so in Krishna consciousness. It's a very deep voice. I don't know if anyone's listened to these tapes. Have you listened? Now you confirm what I'm saying? Very eager. His voice is cracking. Like when a young boy is learning how to becoming a man, his voice goes from high to low. So I'm like, well, mommy, you should please, what is for dinner? His voice goes up and down until it settles in its natural tone. So the devotees that were there said Prabhupada was exhorting everyone and encouraged them, please join my movement, please sartar, jivan sartak, make your life fruitful, don't waste your life, surrender to Krishna. You know, his voice of God, surrender to Krishna because your life is valuable. You know, if his voice was going like this, Gaura Govinda Swami would also, he would preach like that. His voice is very much modulate, go up and down like that. Very effective way to preach. But Prabhupada had a reason, because he was really eager, and he was that parrot, he was that vichakshana sent by Bhagavan to the bhaktas. Please, Krishna is so eager for you to come to him. Krishna is so eager for you to serve him. Please surrender. Please chant Hare Krishna. Please follow these principles. Please join this movement. So this is some point of this saying, this beautiful Nitya Leela full of rasas and purva rag and so many emotions, and Krishna's eager to meet Radha and Radha's eager to meet him. And this is a nice point. I thought it should encourage us that in so many ways he doesn't just send his express Krishna doesn't express his eagerness to meet us and to accept our service and to associate with us and to love us and to accept our love. He doesn't only express it once by sending Sadguru, but he's always expressing it. And then we can see, oh Krishna, I'm so rascalish and so lazy, and you want so much to love me, you want so much to give everything to me, but I'm holding back, I'm not really showing eagerness. Rupa Goswami is encouraging all of us and directing us in his upadesh. Upadesh means directions, agya, order, commands. Be enthusiastic, be eager. Utsaha nischaya daryat. Yeah, okay, tomorrow. Later, I'm young, when I'm old I'll be eager. No, when you're old you're tired. You can't be eager. You want to, when you're young, you can be eager, but you're lazy, so you're not. Then when you're old, you want to be eager, but you're old and you're tired and you can't be. So this is an odd combination. When you're young, you have lots of sensual power and lots of mental power and energy and strength, vitality. And you can be very eager to serve Krishna and run to Krishna, but, oh man, let's take it easy, lay back. And then you don't. You become lazy and lethargic. And then when you're old, it's like, oh, it's everything you do to get your body out of bed and just move somewhere, A to point A to B, and then to be eager, your senses are weak. This problem, that problem. Old people meet together and say, "How are you?" Well, I got this, and I have that, and this and that. And all they do is, because I'm there, I'm old people, and I was a young people, and now I'm old people. So I know when I meet my friends, they're also old. So are you okay? You say you're okay, yeah, I'm okay, things are fine. Really? You don't have any problems? No, this, okay, no. And then they say, okay, you have 5 or 6 problems, I have 5 or 6 problems, but we're carrying on, and most people say, we're doing our best, we're carrying on. Don't jump as high as we used to, don't move as fast as we used to. So many things. But Krishna is so eager, so this is a point I was impressed in this verse. And then what is the standard? And now we see another nice point in this verse I saw that inspired me from the Vidugdha Madhav verse by Rupa Goswami. What is the standard? Because we're hearing about eagerness and how Krishna is so eager to meet Radharani, sends his parrot Vichakshana. Radharani is so eager to meet Krishna, she dresses an upside down way in a half finished way. So what is the standard? What is the standard of eagerness? What is the standard of eagerness of the topmost devotee? Because that standard is being mentioned here. That Radharani is a topmost devotee, so actually she's who is more eager to meet Krishna than Radharani? And who is more eager to meet Radharani than Krishna? No one. So what is the standard that she shows? Well, Rupa Goswami explains, Manye Jagat Vismritam. In this verse from 4:30, he says, Manye Jagat Vismritam, which means that she, Radharani, in her eagerness to run to God, in her eagerness to run to Krishna, she completely forgot the whole world. V means smritam, means without memory. Manye Jagat. Manye Jagat. She completely forgot everything about the world. The world means the world and everything in the world and everyone in the world. Like vox populi. Vox populi means the voice of the people. Oh, what does she think about me? What does he think about me? Oh, I'm worried. He doesn't like me. She doesn't like me. My mother-in-law, Jatila, looked at me with evil eyes. I don't think she likes me. I'm worried. I have to discuss this with my sakis. So leaving the world means leaving all opinion behind, vox populi. Leaving all attachments behind, attachments to family, friends, society, love, adoration, adulation. And completely forgetting, this is not a small number, it's not a small request, that the standard, this is the standard of eagerness set by Radharani. Manye Jagat Vismritam. She's completely forgotten the whole material world. And now her world is nothing but Krishna. This is how you become eager. If you want to be fully eager to run to Krishna, to meet Krishna, then we have to adopt the standard of eagerness of the greatest devotee of Krishna, Radharani. Manye Jagat Vismritam. Vismriti means completely forgetting. I thought that's a very nice point. Because we have this term, Atmavan. Atmavan Manyate Jagat. Prabhupada used to like that people think of the world in terms of themselves. Atmavan. Atmavan Manyate Jagat. People Manyate. They think of, consider the world in terms of themselves. But this phrase here is similar. Manye Jagat. Manye Jagat Vismritam. Vismrita means completely forget the world. So that's the verse. And now this great poetic devotee, I conclude the class by Rasikananda Dasji's Bengali version of the same content, and very beautiful. Krishnabi sarakala sunibo jakon bhalo vichaksana sukera vadane tabayati rishtohaye Shukshma patta satyuloye para ibo tomare jatane. When I clearly hear from the mouth of Krishna's parrot named Vichakshana that it's time for you to meet your beloved, then I will very blissfully take a silken sari and carefully dress you in it. Karnapura rachi phule pura ibo karnamule Gole Debo Kusamera Har. Hey Devi Tomare Kobe Saja Ibo E Rupe Diahino Pushpa Alankar Diahino Pushpa Alankar. And Tulsi Manjari prays more. O Radhika, I will make floral earrings and hang them from your earlobes, and I will hang a flower garland around your neck. O Devi, when can I thus adorn you with flower ornaments? Hey Devi Tomare Kabe, when can I pushpa diya pushpa lankar? When will that day come? So tomorrow we'll discuss by Radharani's mercy, text 71.